This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Just put the money on the floor, kick it over me. No cops, I said no cops.
Get ready for the social hour.
From a basement in Missoula, Montana, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, Deese sits down one-on-one with Sarah Aswell, recently voted best undiscovered stand-up comedian in Montana. And now your host. He always stays on the move because he's trying to stay undiscovered by the authorities. Cassius!
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another episode. Just me in the studio currently. In a few minutes, we're going to get to an interview I got to do with comedian Sarah Aswell, who is a great friend of mine, amazing comic. We did a show with her in Missoula, Montana. That's where she's based out of. Just a couple days ago when you guys hear this. So take a listen to that, guys. It was a really fun interview. She's just whip smart. Love her. Loved her since the first day I met her. She's great. So I encourage you to just listen to this episode and, check her out. If you're ever in the area, follow her on Facebook. All that information is going to be in here. But before we get to that, guys, The Social Hour, man, it has been a busy fall. You know, it's weird. Summer used to be the busy time, and I'd disappear for a while. And now fall's busy, and winter, and these studio episodes are getting less and less, and I apologize for that. I know they're more fun than, some of this shorter on-the-road stuff. But this episode with Sarah is particularly good. But in general, next week we've got a new episode with Sam Vidovich coming back in. We're going to talk movies. We are going to talk Ad Astra. We all saw that. We're going to talk Joker. We all saw that. And get into all of that good stuff, guys. As for life in general, it's been good, man. It's been good. It's been crazy. We've been real busy. Michael Glatzmeyer and I have been out there killing it with the Nearly Famous. We had a couple sold-out shows the last few nights in Montana. Really good, man. We set the record for most bar sales at the venue at this Flathead Lake Brewing Company. And we literally had to turn people away at the door, probably about 20 people or so. They were at capacity, sold out show, really awesome. Met some great people. So we are looking forward to going back out there. Hopefully in January, I think Phil Kopczynski and I are going to be heading out there. So keep an eye out for that guy. He's going to be back on the road. But yeah, man, it has been a crazy time. I've barely been able to keep up with the news. I don't know what's happening. Is Trump still in office? Do we still hate Mexicans? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Life's just going on. I've had some really great conversations with people, friends of mine recently, though. And as much as I've been talking about on the show, guys, this is going to sound super cheesy. But man, I'm telling everyone, embrace your fucking weird. Embrace what you are and go with it. It's been a good time feeling. I've always not given a fuck about anything, as you all know. But now I don't give a fuck, but in a like positive way. And it's been great. It's been so freeing, and life has been so much better, and I want everyone I know to have that. So just fucking embrace your weird and do it. I mean, I got a fucking rainbow unicorn tattooed on my ass recently. As we know, we heard about that. And that's what it is. I don't care. It's funny. I like it. I showed a crowd of people it last night. during the show. This old lady wanted to see. This old lady wanted to see it. So I showed it to the crowd, and then afterwards she's like, "You got a nice ass, sailor." And her, she's got this, her old husband. I think they were trying to take me home. I could have been into it. They could have talked me into it. All right, guys, we're going to get into this episode of Sarah Aswell. Make sure you check her out if she's ever in your area or you are in the Montana area. Follow her on Facebook, Instagram, all that information she's going to shout out during this episode. And big shout out to her again for putting a show together for Michael and I in Missoula. And take a listen, guys, and I will see you next week with Sam Vidovich. And there's going to be a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with Sarah Aswell. Thanks, guys.
Is this just a situation where you're going to cut a bunch of our blurbs out of context?
No, because then there would be blisters in awkward places, which would be terrible.
Oh, here we go. That is the nerdiest thing I've ever seen.
Listen to The Nerd with Adam, Will, and Amanda.
Why did I get top billing? I don't deserve top billing.
Because out of the two of us, you're the one she likes better.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Put another one in me.
And that's when she figured out that I had taken drugs.
How are all of you? We're going to do a promo, but we're just going to talk sex.
I got to see your dick.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
She cooked dinner for me in lingerie, which hopefully she doesn't listen to this because I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
This podcast phenomenon is sweeping the nation, and we're all up on the bandwagon with the plethora of episodes at nerd.pantspending.com.
Willem Dafoe gives me a lady boner.
Blue Chew is bullshit, by the way.
Listen to The Nerd. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Is that a good no? It takes effort to do a promo.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that before.
Although I feel like we could just put that part in.
Yeah.
That along with the nerdy thing Adam said and me with the sexy voice. There you go. There's your promo, Will. Congratulations.
The Nerd. I'm sorry.
All right, guys, thank you for joining us. Come back after those commercial breaks. We are sitting here in Missoula, Montana, with a friend of mine, comedian Sarah Aswell. Sarah, how you doing?
Good. How are you? We're here with a bunny.
I know. We've got a little rabbit. It's like there's always animals around in my podcast. I had sheep the other day. I had my dogs always here. I need a mascot for my podcast always. Some sort of animal is always great.
How about this bunny?
Should I steal this bunny? Can I get this? Can I smuggle this bunny out without anyone knows? There is a back door, so.
Right.
So Michael and I are on the road right now, guys. As you know, we are doing our final little run before he moves off to LA. Sarah was nice enough to hook us up with this fun little show we did tonight.
We did a house show.
Which was a great time, by the way.
What did you think?
I loved it. This was great. What did you think?
I loved it too.
Okay. Seemed more hesitant than I was.
I'm worried about you guys being comfortable because it was a little bit weird.
Oh man, you should see the shows we've done. Okay. We did a show for 7 soccer moms one time.
That sounds just kind of fun.
Yeah, well, it was fun until they tried to sexually assault you.
Oh,
they were
right.
They were like wine drunk and taking shots of Jägermeister.
Is that like a slide tackle
and,
type of thing?
Ooh, it was Jägermeister.
Oh.
Yeah, they were like super, it was fine, but it was, they were very charged up and wanted to have a good time. And I'm like, I got paid for comedy.
That's I always know people had a good time when you ask them if they had a good time and they say, it was fine.
Yeah. It's just like my parents' marriage. That's how they describe it.
Right. Yeah. It was fine.
40 years later, still fucking fine. getting a divorce, that takes calories. You got to burn calories to do that.
Yeah.
So Sarah, we worked together a couple different times, and I'm trying to figure out when we did meet. Probably it's been a couple of years now.
I don't know when we originally met.
I don't either, but I'll figure it out when our friend anniversary comes up on Facebook.
Right,
whenever
then
that
we can.
Happens.
I'm not even sure if I would have friended you the first time I met you, honestly.
I think I friended you when I first met you because I'm like, oh, this girl's really funny.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
I want to know this person. So I distinctly remember that because I was at a I believe it was at something at the Roxy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I actually do remember the first time we met, because I remember hearing you two.
And I was just, and out of all the people that performed that night, you definitely stood out. I'm like, okay, I want to know this person.
Yeah, so. And I felt the same thing. And then we did a show not long after that together.
Yeah, yep, and done a few since, and then now we got this one, so.
Yeah, and I feel like, and I told this to the audience tonight, like, you have taught me so much about the business of comedy and just like how to grind it out and be successful and do things right.
Well,
and I really appreciate it.
My advice does make things right. I don't know if it's good advice. It's advice.
It is. It is.
So, well, good. I'm glad. I'm always happy to help.
Like even tonight, Deese had so we all brought like merch to the show. And I had to walk half a mile with this like cardboard box filled with t-shirts, and I get to the show and Deese has a fucking roll, like a luggage roller, like you have like in the airport, like rolling his shirts up to the show, and I did not realize that I need a luggage roller for my merch.
It took me a while too to understand that, and I, like I said, I went to Value Village, a local thrift store in Spokane, and I dropped a whopping $6.99 on that thing. Somebody's, you know, dead uncle packed their linen suits in that bad boy, and now my shirts are in it.
But this is what I learned from you.
It's a great. Don't worry, it took me years to learn. I hauled around the box up until very recently also.
Right, so, and I just would never have known.
There you go. So how long have you been doing comedy for?
I just had my 4-year comedy birthday.
Oh, wow.
Which I know is not much.
So you know the date and everything?
I do know the date. So I started doing comedy at this open mic in Missoula that happens once a month. So I did it in October of whatever 4 years ago was. And yeah, it's really clear to me because I was dared to do comedy. Okay. I did comedy on a dare.
Like on a lark. You weren't even, so did you go not planning to, or did you go because you were dared?
I went because I was dared.
Okay. So it wasn't like you're in the audience and someone's
I had time to plan.
Okay.
Before I went, a friend called me and said they do comedy once a month at the Union Club. I think that you could do this, but I bet you can't. The next one is on October, whatever. It's the first Thursday of the month, whatever that is. And I was like, I was really depressed at the time. I had two little babies. I had no life of my own, but I've always been like interested in comedy, and I was like, okay, I'll take you up on that bet. And so I got a babysitter. I went, like, my boobs were like literally leaking milk into my dress.
Still that recently had a baby.
I was like trying to feed a baby. Like, my body was trying to feed a baby while I was trying to do comedy for the first time. But I just put on my coat over my leaky tits, got on stage, I did comedy, and I fell in love with it. Like,
so you bit the first time. The bug bit you
the bug bit hard. Like, on stage, I was like, my life has changed. Like, I want to do this.
So at the time, what were you doing for work?
So I've been a freelance writer for the last 12 years, and I love writing. After I started doing comedy, I started doing comedy writing.
Yeah.
And that really changed my life, too. Like, the moment I stepped on stage changed my whole life. So even though I continued being a freelance writer, I changed what I was writing. So I started writing humor for McSweeney's, The New Yorker, National Lampoon, Mad Magazine. Just really hitting all the big outlets.
Yeah.
And having so much fun with it. And it made me way happier.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, when you find that thing that you actually have a passion for to write about, I'm sure as like, so as a freelance writer, were you getting assignments to write about, or did you have some flexibility to write about things you wanted to write about?
I always had flexibility. Like, before I discovered humor and comedy stuff, I was just taking jobs for the money. Yeah. So I was doing a lot of like personal injury lawyers. Like if your loved one has been on a roller coaster and you lost your leg,
sure. Who hasn't?
You need to talk to.
Yeah.
I mean, there are lawyers.
You may be entitled to compensation for.
There are lawyers who literally specialize in roller coasters or paragliding.
Yeah,
or
maritime law.
I had several. Maritime law is actually very complicated.
Yeah. I
do you know about
so.
It?
Well, because there's no, it's a lawless land out there.
It's,
Sarah.
International waters.
Yeah, you gotta get Interpol involved or something.
Okay, maritime law is actually fascinating.
It seems, I just want just swashbuckling. That's how it all should be settled.
Well, no, and I'm saying that my clients were boring, but it was actually interesting.
Sure.
Like, some of my maritime lawyers specialized in pirates. Like,
sure, which is, it's crazy, that's still a thing.
I got to write about, like, what to do when your company is attacked by pirates. Like... Legally, what do you do?
There's like a somewhere there's a safety video.
Right.
Like a training video for McDonald's when how to use the fry later. Like,
right.
Listen, when Somalian pirates board your ship, here's a...
No, and in fact, like, yeah, a bunch of legal stuff, like, rolls into action when your pirates become... Oh, thank you. Become... When pirates attack, like, yeah, a bunch of legal things take place.
Yeah.
Hi, we have a puppy with us.
We have a dog here.
This is Troubadour.
Animals. Yeah. I love the dog.
Who is the nicest dog? Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I wrote for a pirate lawyer. I wrote for a roller coaster lawyer.
That pirate lawyer sounds like a shitty action TV show on the Ring doorbell network.
Yeah.
Pirate lawyer.
But there are, like, super specialized lawyers. Like, I wrote for a lawyer who just did, like, when your kid swallows a battery.
Yeah.
There's a whole lawyer for that.
In my head, pirate lawyer seems like a guy who's a lawyer and also a pirate. Not a lawyer about pirates. He's, like, just a pirate
right. Well, lawyer. I think that would be helpful to have, like, your lawyer also can see both sides.
Well, he's only got one eye, though. So he's got bad depth perception. He can only see so much, obviously. You know, he's a pirate. He's got to live a life.
Pirate lawyer.
I would watch that show.
Right.
Yeah, it's the next Marvel movie.
Right.
I don't know when
Nick Fury asked to be
an Avenger.
Yeah.
I actually had this dream. I wanted to make a pirate themed like travel trailer sales place called the RV store. and I because that's the
are
thing.
You
that,
kidding?
Yeah. Because that's the thing that my brain thinks of. So the writing part seems really interesting to me because writing is how I got into comedy also.
Me too.
I was writing comedy articles for online websites and I was doing punch up for scripts when I was living in LA and things like that.
Yeah.
And then found my way into improv and stand up that way. And it's difficult... at least was for me, so I want to ask your opinion on this. When I was given scripts to do punch-up on, when it's not something you've written, it's so much more difficult to get invested in it, right?
Oh my god, yeah. I mean, you're just in a totally different mindset. Like, you're in a critical lens of, like, obviously I'm the only funny person on earth and this other person sucks, is how you enter any sort of editing situation. So I've always found editing much harder than writing because, yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm sort of a perfectionist and I feel like if you're going to do something right, do it yourself.
Yeah.
So whenever you're working with someone else, it's difficult.
It makes it hard, yeah. Well, and plus when you were freed up to start writing your comedy articles and writing things that you had, you know, were derived from you wholly instead of having an assignment, you know, you can get invested in it. You can get a little more, you're more passionate about it. You're probably putting more into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you probably feel this too. When I have like a comedy assignment that can really be inspiring, like if someone's like, make fun of this thing, I'm
sure.
Like, ah, yeah. Easy, whereas sometimes I'm just up in the middle of the night being like, what is funny?
Sure.
I have no idea what is funny. What am I supposed to talk about? Relationships.
Like, hey, that's
relationships.
Are you talking about airplane food or
right?
Yeah.
Right. So having like direction is helpful.
Sure. But. Yeah. I kind of at least one guiding point. So what? How did you get into? I'm super interested in the writing part actually.
Yeah.
Like, how did you get into freelance writing? Did you? Is that what you went to school for? Or?
I literally went to school for it. Yeah, my undergrad degree is in English, and then I went to the University of Montana's creative writing program,
okay.
which is known for being good. That's how I got to Montana.
Because you're from Boston.
I'm from Boston originally,
right?
Yeah. And that taught me a lot of stuff. It didn't quite get me into freelance writing because creative writing programs don't teach you how to get a job
right
at all.
Yeah, the practical side of how to.
Yeah, they're like, now you know how to write creatively. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye forever.
Right? Tell us which fast food chain you're
yeah.
involved with. Now.
Enjoy middle management of Kohl's.
Right? <Yeah. laughs> Well, so after that, I went to, I thought I wanted to be an editor. So I went to New York City and started working for a publishing company, which, if you're a creative person, working at a publishing company is a bad idea.
Yeah, probably a stranglehold on creativity, I imagine.
Right. Like, the way someone described it to me, they were like, you want to be a firefighter, but instead you're making fire trucks. And I was like, oh, shit. You're right. I'm making fire trucks. I want to be a firefighter.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong place. So from my cubicle there, I started freelancing, and that's how I kind of transitioned from being in the publishing industry to writing. But it's
yeah.
just a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
I know that's lame.
Well, no, I mean, it's true. There's no shortcut. I mean, Mike, it's the same thing, I think, with almost any creative endeavor. I mean, Michael and I were talking about on the way over to Montana, you know, when you do... You know, a lot of new people want to ask us questions about comedy and how to do XYZ. And there's
right.
really, and I imagine same as writing, there's no shortcut. It's like you kind of have to go through these steps. It's going
right.
to take X amount of time. You know, you're going to have to kind of go through the same. There's no shortcut. There's no fast lane.
Totally, exactly. And like, yeah, like I've been on dating websites recently and it's like, I feel like every single male I talk to, the conversation goes exactly the same way. Like, hi, who are you? This and that. I'm like, oh, like I do stand-up comedy. And then immediately they're like, oh, yeah, I would be good at that. And I'm like...
like, you probably wouldn't, actually. The fact that you'd say that
well,
means you're probably not
right.
going to be.
Right, or like, even if they would be good at it, that's beside the point.
Yeah.
The point is...
Thanks for making it about you.
Right. Well, yes.
You seem like a generous lover.
Right? Oh my god. I can tell you know where my
yeah,
clit
right.
is just from this conversation.
Yeah, this is
yeah.
going to go swimmingly,
right.
obviously.
Right.
I can tell already.
Yeah.
I'm
you're an ass man. For sure. No, but that is really where all of these conversations end up is like men being like, I believe that I would be a good stand-up comedian.
Right.
Which I don't know what to say to that. I'm always like, good for you.
Yeah, all right. Here's
I'm
the
sure
open
you don't
mic
have
list.
To.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't have to deal with this on your side. But like, what do I say? I'm like, there's nothing stopping you.
Yeah, go for it. I'll, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe you have to date me first to get comfortable. I don't know.
It is an awkward dating as a comic has been is like a huge. I don't know.
It's a thing.
It's a pitfall. I can't. It's impossible. It's impossible for me anyway. I don't
yeah.
see how people do it. It makes sense why everyone in comedy is single or divorced or
right. Well, it's such better material.
Well, that too. Yeah, yeah. You gotta have some pathos in there, some pain.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, I don't know what to say to these guys who. I feel like they almost feel like they're on the exact same level as me wanting
yeah.
to do comedy as me struggling really hard to do
yeah.
comedy every day of my life.
Well, they probably don't a lot of people I think don't understand what it really takes to do it, you know, because
no.
there's like I mean, one piece of advice I give young comics always is the more you treat it like a job, the more it treats you like a job.
Yeah. You know? Oh, that's such good advice.
And I mean, we did 35 minutes tonight. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, they're like, oh, 35 minutes a night. And I'm like, yeah, I do about 8 hours a day, actually.
Right.
Is something involved in comedy.
Yeah. Well, this is not to interrupt, this is like a freelance lesson. Like, people ask me what I charge, and I'm like, well, I charge $200 an hour. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, that's insane. And I'm like, well, you're not charging by the hour. You're charging me for 20 years of experience.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You're charging me for much more time and effort than the time that I give to your specific project.
Right.
And people don't get that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's very, that's it too. You know, I mean, freelance interviewing comedy when I've quoted people for things. It's like private events and they're, you know,
right.
Holiday parties, and I'll give them a quote and they're like, God, that's a lot of money. I'm like, well, I've been doing this for years. You
right.
want me to come to your private party for 40 people and do how, like, I'm like,
yeah,
like you in your corporation. I'm like, you guys have the money. I'm like, it's, you can, I've told people, like, you can get it cheaper, but
right. Exactly.
Cheaper is not
and then
better.
Then it's so, a big surprise
yeah.
what you get.
Good luck.
Right.
But
I've had the same experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, it's, you know, people don't understand that, you know, it's like, yeah, we front load our time. We're at open mics, not getting paid. We're writing
right.
comedy. We're doing things. So when we get paid,
we're driving, we're paying
yeah.
for gas, we're paying for hotels, we're thinking a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
thoughts are worth a lot of money.
They are. No, I mean, you're laughing, but I truly believe that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they are, but it's ridiculous to think. I feel ridiculous thinking that. We just got derailed. The dating
yeah.
thing's interesting to me, too, because, like,
yeah.
it's a nightmare for guys, I think, in doing comedy, but I'm sure, I have no doubt it's a nightmare for women in comedy, and I think
totally different nightmares,
yeah,
but just as scary.
Yeah, very different, I'm sure. The because some of my best friends in comedy are women. And
yes, that's
they,
true.
I love talking. Like we sit and talk about it, and it's. I think guys are very intimidated by women who are funny because they're used
yeah.
to being the funny one. The guys want to be the funny one.
No,
it's kind of
okay. So they've literally done studies about this. Like, men do not want to date people who are funnier than they are.
Yeah,
it's terrifying. When they've done studies, like, when men say they want a woman with a sense of humor, what they mean is they want women who laugh at their
right.
jokes.
Yeah. Who think I'm funny, yeah.
Right. That's not really a sense of humor. That's
right.
like something different.
Just pliable. It's like easily programmed person.
Yeah. So already, like, when I try to date, I'm like, it's a small percentage of the population that I can even talk to
yeah.
because nobody wants to be the less funny person, and basically that's what you're getting with
yeah.
me. You're going to be less funny than
right.
me.
That's very difficult thing
right.
To do. Have you found, and what's your experience with that with guys?
Well, so I'm married. I'm in an open relationship.
Yeah.
But I mostly date comedians because they're the only people who can deal with it. Like, they literally are. I mean, and the other people are kind of like submissive nerd fans.
Sure.
So it kind of falls into those two categories. But it's also hard dating comedians because you have
yeah.
to find someone whose comedy you respect, which, as I'm sure you know, is almost impossible.
It can't be difficult at times. There's the people I work with, a lot of the same people a lot of the times, and there's a reason for that. I'm like, I like
right.
these people.
Yes.
I like their comedy. I like them as people. And, you know, so I just kind of go back to the same well. I'm like, why I don't have to go very far. I'm like, there's the people, my shows I do locally in Spokane, there's there's people I constantly put up in front of me or as hosts for my shows and I'm not doing. It's like, yeah,
yeah.
They're the people I like.
I totally agree.
If I got to go on the road with someone, I'd rather it be someone I like hanging with.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which Michael makes so much sense. He's a delight.
Yeah. You know, I'm more like his handler. I'm half handler, half,
half friend.
Yeah. There's a whole algorithm we walk. So comedy moving forward, what is, do you have a dream to get out of, like, writing mostly and doing comedy full time, or
is it kind of both? So I'm kind of a special case. I have two young kids. My kids are 4 and 6. I need to stick around here. I can't really tour like a lot of comedians tour.
Sure.
So I'm trying to kind of establish myself as the person who opens for people who come to Missoula, mm-hmm. which I'm doing really well. But I do feel limited. I go to 1 to 2 festivals a year as sort of a vacation from my life.
Sure.
And that's been cool. Like I did this spring, I did the Women in Comedy Festival in Boston, which is hosted by HBO. It was super cool. Like I met so many great people. It was 4 days and then I could come back to my family.
Yeah.
But I kind of recognize also that I'm not the best performer on stage. Like I'm more of a writer. Like I'm a writer before anything else, primarily. And writing is easier to do in a remote fashion.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I love doing stand-up. So I try to do it whenever I can.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's been going well. I see you busier and busier all the time, so.
Yeah.
And was it, now let's brag a little here, was it Forbes that voted you?
No.
Who was it that voted you comedian in Montana that you needed?
Right. Okay.
Tell us the official thing it was.
Well, I want to brag about a couple things.
Okay.
I have a...
I'll edit on post. It's fine.
I have a column in Forbes, a regular column on Forbes, mm-hmm. where I talk about comedy. I review comedy specials and talk about comedy generally. A lot of things I like talking about is comedy and feminism, comedy and the Me Too movement, PC comedy. All of those things really interest me. I write about them on Forbes. You can follow me there. But the thing you're talking about is Thrillist.
That's named
me the one of the best unknown comedians in America.
Yes.
Representing Montana. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right?
Right?
Did they interview you too?
Yeah.
So that was a, did
it
you,
was such
like,
a nice thing.
How did you find out when that happened?
They contacted me. I'm really bad at checking like my messages, which is normal for comedians probably. But I checked my messages. I had like 8 messages from Thrillist being like, we really need to hear back from you.
Yeah.
But I finally contacted them and they were like, we watched a lot of video. We've done a lot of research and we really want you to do this. And it was great.
Yeah,
and the feature,
awesome.
If you look it up, they pick the best unknown comedian from every state.
Yeah.
In the United States. And I've performed with some of them. They did a great job on the list. It's super diverse. It's super thorough. Every comedian on that list is worth looking up and watching.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, so I know you got to go. You got kids and stuff at home. But tell us, tell everyone where they can find you, social media, how they can follow you, things like that.
Thank you. You can follow me on Facebook, Sarah Aswell. Twitter is Cswell. And Instagram as well. I think it's also
C as in the ocean.
Cswell. It's like like you can see that in
Got
your
it.
Mind.
And I'll get you tagged in the description too, so people can find you.
Thanks,
Steve. You bet. And guys, if you are in Montana, definitely find Sarah. Find her articles on Forbes. Follow her. All her she posts stuff all the time. And hopefully we can get over to Spokane to do some stuff soon. So. All right, guys. Thank you for listening this week, and we'll have more stuff with Michael and I. Join us next week. We're going to have Sam Vidovich back in studio doing another movie review. We're going to talk all kinds of stuff, and we will see you next week.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!